it got real quiet all of a sudden. What happened? Did the grumpy person hit you or what? Roger, I hope you didn't greet that person. John, I hope you didn't greet John and say, "Hi, Grumpy, how are you?" Not today, eh? Isaiah chapter 6. I know that you've been quite busy in this past week. And for very good reason. We get to celebrate the most significant birth in history, the birth of the Lord Jesus. And if you're a parent here today, specifically a mother, you know that giving birth is probably comes with mixed emotions. But once you're holding that little baby in your arms, you look at all the prospects and all the possibilities of what will the future entail. Someone has given this definition of a baby. A baby is a small member of the home that makes love stronger, days shorter, nights longer, the bankroll smaller, the home happier, clothes shabbier, the past forgotten, and the future worth living for. Beautiful prospects as you and I consider, first of all, as we're gathered with our families, behind each of the children that you moms and dads have had, you know there's a story. On December 23rd, 1984, and Sunday morning it was, at this point in time, we were partway down to Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario, to have our second oldest, Josh. And partway down at Montreal River Harbor, it was snowing so hard that we could hardly see. And all of a sudden, the car stalled. Yeah. And Renee was in labor. And so, memorable moments. And this morning, Renee and I were just sort of remembering that particular Sunday morning. Isaiah chapter 6 is sort of the forefront of another birth that's going to be prophesied in the very familiar passage that is often quoted at our Christmas pageants, Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. The scene, of course, that we have in chapter 6 is in the midst of some rumors. In fact, the rumors eventually come to fulfillment. Rumors were this, is that allies to the north are no longer allies. There are two nations that are conspiring against us, and they're trying to persuade us that we need to ally ourselves with them because there's an Assyrian invasion coming. So far you're saying, as soon as you use the word Assyrian invasion, I can't quite relate. Well, it hasn't been all that long, but in the last few years, the city of Damascus, which was the capital of Syria, was basically obliterated and basically is no longer part of this world. There's a place called Damascus, but people have fled from that country. They're called Syrians. Canadian government has agreed to bring in last year a quarter of a million, and there's possibly as many as 325,000 Syrian refugees in our country today. There's some here in the area, and they are here because they were basically disposed by a movement called ISIS. You're familiar with some of that, and yet you're not, because geographically you're so far removed, and that politically you have not had to migrate. You didn't have to run for your lives. You didn't have to be separated from your family. And so it's very difficult for us to appreciate how difficult it would have been for them to celebrate their first Christmas here in Canada. In Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah is in the midst of worshiping the Lord, and it's a beautiful, beautiful scene. But as you come down to verse 9, he's being commissioned to give a message that you and I would be maybe reluctant. On the one hand, we would say something like this: I want to serve the Lord, but I want to bring a happy message. I want to bring the message that I heard in the ABF this morning about praising the Lord out of Ephesians chapter 1 and Psalm 66. Turn with me to Isaiah 6, and we're going to read verses 9 and 10 and 11. Now imagine for a moment that you're Isaiah, and you have to give this particular message. He said, "Go tell this people, be ever hearing but never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people calloused and make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities be ruined and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remain in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leave stumps when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land." And right next to that, you can put Isaiah chapter 11. Right next to that, because it's right there that we made reference to the branch a couple weeks ago. The vision in Isaiah chapter 6, in all likelihood, took place about 4 years prior to the events of chapter 7. Isaiah was being tasked with proclaiming a message to a hardened people. You're all going to be going to family gatherings. I wonder if you feel comfortable about sharing the beautiful message of God's grace. Is it going to be an opportunity for you to praise God? For some of you, it may be. For some of you, you may say that's simply going to fall on deaf ears. Not unlike Isaiah, the Lord Jesus was being tasked to proclaim a message to a hardened generation. Turn with me to John chapter 12, verses 40 and 41. Now, we were singing and enjoying the opportunity to do it, and it's really great to hear when people love the Lord and they want to sing and praise God. But it's not always the case. John chapter 12, verse 40 and 41. We'll start at verse 39. "For this reason they could not believe, because as Isaiah says elsewhere, he has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I will heal them." Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Of course, John is making reference back to Isaiah chapter 6. Let me bring up the PowerPoint if you don't mind. We're just going to do a little bit of review. And so the problem is stated in the book of Isaiah, and I want you to imagine for a moment that you're living during this time and you're hearing Isaiah state this, but then I also want you to sort of come into this particular point in time, and I want you to think about if the message that Isaiah heard was to be proclaimed today, could it be maybe understood in a similar way? And so in Isaiah 1:4, We have a people loaded with guilt, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel and turned their backs on him. Then Isaiah says in verse 16 to 18, wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Stop doing wrong. Learn to do right. Seek justice. Encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. This is the orphans. Plead the case of the widow. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The problem stated. Next slide. And so the solution in the book of Isaiah is seen, first of all, in the first message that we looked at, is seen in respect to this branch. And we looked at Isaiah chapter 4 and Isaiah chapter 11. And the branch, of course, spoke to the idea that the nation was being cut down, but there was hope yet. Although the hope would be in the far future when Christ would return. And for us, it will be. When Christ returns, that we'll see the fulfillment of the many prophecies that we read about in the Old Testament. Then we looked at a couple of servant passages, and last week we talked about Isaiah 53, and we looked at the service of the Lord Jesus in humility. And then today we simply want to look to the child and speak of this hope, but we're looking at it from its prophetic perspective, okay? We're going to be considering what is actually happening here in Isaiah chapter 7, and then we'll read some verses from chapter 9. Next slide. And so, think about our generation. You're going to be going to these family gatherings, and I'm hoping that it'll be a good, joyous time. But if you were to be with Renee and I and go back years and years ago and go to our family gatherings, there wasn't necessarily carol singing. There wasn't a worship of God. There wasn't really a recognition of who God is. And so Raymond Ortlund says this, you know, we're blind to the things we most need to know. But isn't it good that God is disruptive? Without his word, we are confined to our own pretenses and bluffs. And I pray that this Christmas season isn't about your own pretenses. That it's not simply rooted in some cultural thing, but in fact that you would see all the pain and the suffering around you is really what God sent his son for, to deliver us from. And although you and I have been saved by grace, and we can appreciate that, and we can rejoice here this morning, there are many within our families who are still blind to the things we most need to know. Next slide. Came across a statistic that you're seeing here on the overhead here.